And the verse is verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now look over in chapter 3, I think it is. In John 3, here's why the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now, the reason for people to not see and understand what the Lord wants them to do is because they make up their mind, regardless of the facts. Don't pay attention to the facts. They carry the mantle that says, don't confuse me with facts. My mind's already made up. So I want to look with you at some scripture here tonight about who we are in Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to implore you, don't make your mind up about what you believe about this. Just let the Bible say what it says. And at the end, if I remember that I said that, at the end, what I want to point out to you is we all have a ways to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul takes three or four or five verses here to rebuke these folks just a little bit because they're still acting like babies and he doesn't think that they ought to be. Look with me, start in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now I'll tell you what people do with the first part of verse 7. They act like he didn't say it. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. He that planteth is, in this example, is Paul the preacher. He that watereth is Apollos, the man who come along and taught Scripture behind him. What are they? They're nothing. I know you don't want to say that. You say, well, yeah, they are. They did. No, no, no. They're nothing. Scripture says they're nothing. You've got to say they're nothing. It's not that you have to berate them and put them down, but you must understand the reason for the Lord to say this. The Lord didn't say this because he was mad at Paul and Apollos. The Lord didn't say this because he wanted Paul and Apollos to be beaten into the ground. He said this so that we would understand that just because somebody does something in the name of the Lord does not make them special. It is God that gives the increase. He that plants and he that waters is nothing, but God that giveth the increase. Now, notice the next two verses. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. See, the Lord's not taking anything away from him, according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, before we go any further, I want you to think about that G-O-D-S. That's capital G-O-D apostrophe S, which means you are the possession of God. You are God's husbandry. The word husbandry is that which is tillable. And I wrote on the board here, for those on the internet, God's tillable land. We are in God's tillable land. We're like a tenant farmer. We don't own anything. It's not ours. We're not going to take it with us when we die. We are, however, going to be measured by the work that we do on God's tillable land. And there's no way around that. That is the way it is. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Well, that I there is the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle to whom God gave the privilege of carrying forth His Word. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Well, in the context, that's Apollos. But it falls down through from generation after generation all the way down to us. He says, another buildeth thereon. Then he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now what I want to talk to you about is the taking heed. Said all that to say this. The Lord has brought light into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So the light of the world is here and men don't comprehend it. The darkness can't see the light. And yet, here you are, sitting here in a Bible class or watching on the internet, you have decided to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, you are accounted as God's husbandry. You are accounted as being tillable. He can handle you. He can maneuver through you. He can cause something to grow with using your labor. God gives the increase. He will cause it to grow if there's laborers. Now, I want you first of all to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And we're going to read verse 1, but we can't really read verse 1 until we read chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. So read that with me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit, which is to say, here's the way it is. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, in the literal sense, that's Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but in the broad sense, the word us is the church, the body of Christ, we who are saved. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that would be God, hath made him, that would be Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Skip the parentheses, look at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now, the ministry in the context is the ambassadorship of chapter 5, verse 20. It's called, in verse 18, it's called the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19, it's called the word of reconciliation. And it is you standing in the place of Christ. Christ isn't here. Christ was here for 33 years, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, gave us an apostle named the Apostle Paul, and completely wrote out his word so that nothing is missing from his word. All things that were done in a partiality have passed away because we have the complete word of God. And it's called God's husbandry, God's building. And we're it. The world does not possess the light. Saved people possess the light. The world lieth in darkness. The world is no different today than it was when Jesus Christ was born, except it counts days differently. The world has about the same number of sinners in it as it did when the Garden of Eden was busted wide open. 100%. The difference is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised for us. When we trusted Christ as our Savior, we became redeemed out of the world. Except He left us here. Well, He left us here because it wasn't complete. There was something else to do. And in Paul's case, it was to get all of the Word of God written. And in our case, it's to get all of the Word of God spoken every chance we get. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Who you're working with? You know, I know that when I meet someone and they ask me what I do and I tell them I'm a preacher, I know that within a few short sentences they're going to tell me where they go to church. It usually doesn't take long, and if they don't tell me, usually it's because they don't go. Now, I guess that's just common when you talk to a preacher. I don't know why people do that, but it don't bother me. It's all right with me. But the point I'm making is, I wonder why they don't tell me they work with the Lord. They tell me where they go to church. They say, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Baptist. I go to this Baptist church, I go to that Baptist church, I go to this Presbyterian church, I go to this Catholic church. I want to say, who gives a flip? What are you doing with the Lord? You see, chapter 6, verse 1 says that we are workers together with Him. That's pretty blunt. How do you get to be a worker with the Lord? You get saved. But what if you don't do anything? You're a bad worker. You ain't going to like the result of your labors. Look over, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to come back to the first part of this chapter in just a moment, but look, if you will, down at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now you must understand something. The husband who is laboring to be a partaker of the fruits does not mean he gets fruit from what he labors in, even though he does. What that means is he must already know what the fruit is. First partaker of the fruits means if the reason I'm standing here able to labor is because I've had some of the good fruit. In other words, a guy gets saved and he says, I want to work for the Lord. I want to work for the Lord. What do I do? What do I do? If nobody ever shows him any scripture, he's going to do it all wrong. But notice verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, then there's some work to be done, or else you wouldn't be referred to as a workman in the passage. But there's no work to be done until there's been the proper study done, and the study includes the method of rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, being a dispensationalist separates you from the rest of the religious world in several different ways. The big one being, they think you don't believe all the Bible. Well, I want you to look while you're at it in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and see what our apostle Paul says about all the Bible. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, there's that thing, works again. Well, it takes all the scripture. How much scripture is that? Genesis or Revelation? You start on the left side of any board and you write down the book of Genesis over here. And you go to the right side of any board and you write down Revelation over here. And what you've got in between there, the 66 books total, is going to give you all of God's Word. If some guy stands up and gives you some word he got from the Lord and it disagrees with the scripture, you can toss him out. If you say something that disagrees with God's Word, you're wrong. I mean, if you say something in an authoritative way, trying to get somebody to do it, you're wrong. The Bible's what's right. So he says here, he says, the reason for all the Scripture is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's not talking about he's getting his flesh perfect. Word perfect. Now go back earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 7, consider, which is fairly close to the same word as being meditate. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead 3 days and three nights after he was crucified. He was raised from the dead and it was preached. He sent back the Holy Spirit and the 12, Peter and the 12, they preached Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The difference between what Peter about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and what Paul preached about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is that when Peter preached that Christ was raised from the dead, he wasn't preaching his gospel. People say, well, sure he was. I didn't say he didn't preach that Christ was raised from the dead, but his gospel is to those Jews, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus and Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you. But Paul preached out here, he preached a gospel that included the resurrection like this. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected for our justification. So when he preached, when the Apostle Paul preached on this side of the cross after getting saved, he preached the gospel that was, it was absolutely essential to preach that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in that gospel. Now imagine if Paul had decided he liked Peter's way of preaching. You didn't have any promises. Peter preached and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, so forth. Well, you didn't have any promises. God never promised you He'd save you. God saved you by His grace. Well, then you can't have Paul preaching what Peter preached. So Paul goes over to Jerusalem and he listens to Peter preach. He says, you know, I kind of like that. I think I'll just switch. Well, then you never would have got a gospel. All Scripture. Where did Scripture come from? It's God breathed. That's what the word means. The Lord breathed out the words of Genesis through Malachi. The Lord breathed out the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Lord breathed out the words of the book of Acts. And the Lord breathed out those last nine books of the Bible, which is Hebrews through Revelation. The Lord breathed all that out. And bless your soul, He put into the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul the 13 books that is written to the church, the body of Christ, Romans through Philemon. It's all God breathed. It's all God's inspiration. And it is all profitable. But you can't preach Peter's gospel while being in Paul's gospel any more than you could preach the everlasting gospel to people who were going to die and get their heads cut off in the book, in the early part of the book of Acts. You can't preach the Old Testament law of Moses over here to the people in the book of Hebrews because they now see that Jesus Christ is there in the temple as a sacrifice for them. He is their high priest and their apostle. Jesus Christ is. And in the book of Hebrews, if you tried to apply Moses' law, you can't do it because Moses' law demanded a sacrificial system. Things that are different ought not to be taught of as being the same. So what have we got here? We got a word of God that, according to 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, is supposed to be rightly divided. Now in the context it says rightly dividing the word of truth to keep from being ashamed of your work. The work. You can't work if you don't rightly divide. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Our salvation is like this. I've already quoted twice the gospel. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised for our justification. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's our gospel. Now look, in verse 8, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well then, there's no salvation. I mean, there's no works in salvation. None. No works in salvation. Folks, there are gobs of things to do if you belong to the Lord, and there's thousands of opportunities to work for the Lord, but if you're not saved, hang it up. You can't work for the Lord. He ain't going to receive your work. But look at verse 9. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word them can only be attributed to the word works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're supposed to be in good works. How would you know if that's good or not? Oh, you got to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not rocket science. Thank God. It's in a King James Bible. It's very plain. It's very easy. Nobody has trouble understanding it. Everybody has trouble believing it. Nobody has trouble understanding it. Everybody has trouble believing it. Look in chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 8. As concerning the one God and Father of all, and His giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore He saith, verse 8, that's God, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. God said that in the Old Testament. Verse 11. God didn't say this. God said it, but Paul wrote this. This is not a quote from the Old Testament. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what? Smack dab in the middle of that verse is a phrase that says there is work in the ministry. That's what it said. For the work of the ministry. Why would God give anybody an evangelist so that they could see their need for a Savior? Why would God give anybody an evangelist more than once so He could convict them by the words He spoke about their need for a Savior? Why would God give anyone a pastor and a teacher? Because God knows people. God said in the book of Jeremiah, it is not in man to order his steps. It also said in Jeremiah, he that glorieth, let him glory in this. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the rich man in his wealth. He that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows me, that I am the judge. So here's big shots, doodly bopping around the world, thinking they know something, when they don't know anything. And what they've got is a regard for the Word so long as it agrees with what they believe. And they stand high and mighty, and they present things as though God had given them some special revelation, when all they are is about what Paul and Apollos were back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Nothing. Well, then you got to consider something here. There is a way for the saints to be perfected. God gave pastors and teachers not to say, now there's your expert. But He gave us pastors and teachers that would show us what God Himself said. Show us how to see what God said. Show us how to discern the right, the wrong, the indifferent in application of God's Word. The wrong dispensation, the proper dispensation. The wrong gospel, the right gospel. Show us how to view God's Word in all of its glory and perfection. And without confusion and without dissimulation. And without things like the absence of verses of Scripture. Things like leaving things out, saying, well, we don't need that. A dispensationalist, by the way, who wants to lop off everything else except what Paul wrote, is just as stupid as the translators that take verses out of the Bible. No difference. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Wow. Well, I was born in 1942 and I'm by far and away the oldest person here. And I can tell you this much, it was all written when I got here. So whatsoever things are written aforetime is Genesis to Revelation. Ain't no new gospel, ain't no new word. It's been here all along. Now notice, back in the verse 12, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a reason for that, and that's verse 13, 14, 15, 16. We'll maybe come back to that if we have time, but that's not what I want you to talk to you about here in this passage. Now notice in verse, he talks about how bad the Gentiles were in verse 17, 18, and 19. Now look at verse 20. Now this is tough. You have to think about this one a little bit. This is maybe sixth grade grammar, but it doesn't come out so that everybody knows what it means. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, from Christ, you didn't learn how to be unclean and greedy and filled with lasciviousness and have the blindness of your heart because you're ignorant and so on. You didn't learn that from Christ, he's saying. Verse 21. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Notice the colon, which means verse 20 and 21 are going to be explained. But here's the deal. You have been taught by the Lord if you read His Word believing He's saying it. You can read John, or you can read Mark, or you can read Paul's 13 books. You can read whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, book in Hebrews. But it's God saying it. It is the Lord saying. The Lord puts it forth. The Lord has given it to us. The Lord has preserved it. The Lord has made it right. The Lord meant it to be what it is. And you've learned Christ and you've heard Christ because you've heard the Word of God. And you've been taught by Him because you have a Spirit given to you of God when you trusted Christ as your Savior. A Spirit came from God and makes it possible for you to learn from the Holy Spirit. And you can learn God's Word. If you're saved, don't call God a liar. So he says in verse 22, here's what you do with that. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Did you see what that said? That said that you put on the new man. You aren't a new man. You're a new creature in Christ when you got saved, but you put on the new man. Don't you be blaming God for what you are. You're the one supposed to put on the new man. So I don't know how. Then you better get your nose in the book. Because it's the book that'll tell you how. Now, in verse 25 through the end of the chapter, these are magnificent things about changing your life. Well, I don't want to talk about them tonight, but I want you to promise me you'll read those before you go to sleep tonight. Read verse 25 through verse 32. I just had a long session today with somebody that has forgotten why there is a call upon their life to love one another. They missed verse 32. Many others also that they missed. But you see, my point, what caused that to come to mind right here is that if I went down that long list with you right now, and it's a long list even though it's only 8 verses, if I went down that list with you right now, you'd say, gosh, I wonder why the Lord thought He had to tell us that. Well, I can tell you why He had to tell us. Because we ain't worth a flip. We just stay what we are, and we forget that we're supposed to put on this new man. So, we keep doing the same things. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. He goes through much of that same list from verse 7 down through verse 11. And incidentally, just a word about the verse 11. People created in Christ are not amongst weirdos. They're amongst new creatures. And in verse 11 it says, in Christ, it's talking about where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Now, most of those terms you know and you're familiar with, but barbarian and Scythian are stuck in Colossians and they're not stuck in any other passage similar to this. Barbarians and Scythians, by the way, is capitalized. There was a lot of barbaric activity by a lot of different people from a lot of different nations, but there were some people in the central part of what is today southeastern Europe, from Illyricum all the way around into what is today Turkey. And there were people in there that were barbarians. They did things in a barbaric nature so strongly and so individually that they carried a name, a proper name, barbarian. Scythians were the same way. They're just from a little further east. The Scythians were such a warring type of people that they strapped their babies onto their chest and wore them like a chest protector in battle. I'm not kidding you. That's what history recorded of them. And yet they were of such a tiny little crafted mind that they could draw stories of their war on gold nuggets with a pen. Strange people. Scythians. Well, do you realize that by that passage that the barbarians and the Scythians are in there with the Jews and the circumcision? They're in there with the free men. They're in there even with the Greeks, proud as they were. The barbarians and Scythians are in the same boat. What? If that wouldn't prove that Apollos and Paul wasn't worth a flip in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and none of these people worth a flip except to be in Christ, I don't know what would. Who would you exclude from the body of Christ? Christ died for every person. Every person's sins. Christ would justify anyone willing to believe upon Him. Because there's no sins left. It's a matter of belief. Now the reason I want to point that out is because the next several verses sounds very sophisticated. It doesn't sound like barbarians and Scythians, and for that matter, uncircumcision and bondmen would understand these next verses, and yet they're so simple. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You know what bowels of mercies are? It means have pity way down deep inside of you. It means pity where pity is necessary, where it's warranted. It means give until it hurts, so to speak. It means, according to Ephesians chapter 4, which you'll read tonight, that the only reason you work is to have to give to them that need it. Most people don't like to hear that either. Look now, the next phrase is there is kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I want to ask you a question. Did Christ forgive you all your sins? Then don't you dare hold a grudge. I don't care what you think of somebody. Don't hold a grudge. They don't owe you no matter what they did to you. They don't owe you. The Lord has taken care of even that. It's like the guy in the old Brother Where Art Thou movie when he come up out of getting that baptism, he said that preacher said it washed away all of his sins. Even that Piggly Wiggly he'd robbed. And the guy says, hey, you said you didn't rob that Piggly Wiggly. He said, well, I lied. And he took care of that one too. I like that line. I don't like the baptism part, but I like that line. He took care of that one too. I got some every now and then that I think of, I haven't thought of since I committed them. And I'm like that guy. He took care of that one too. So how in the world could I fail to forgive somebody something? Even as Christ forgave me. I'm supposed to do. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which has to do with giving without expectation, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Oh, peace? Yeah, peace. Let the peace of God rule. You know what ruling is? It's lording over. Being the Lord of, master of. The peace of God should be what rules in your heart. The peace of God. I talked to a young man today, and he has no peace. And I said, when believing you needed a Savior, did you ever ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? He said he never did. I said, well, I'm not surprised you don't have any peace. You sorry rascal, you're just going to go on and go to hell. He looked at me like I'd slapped him, and I was so glad that he looked that way, because then I knew he'd heard. He said, well, I don't know how. I try to live godly. I said, quit trying. Trust Christ. You don't know how to live godly. You haven't got the foggiest idea how to live godly. Who do you think you are? You're going to call God a liar? Just trust Him. Then you can learn basically the things we're talking about here tonight after you've trusted Christ. Before you trust Christ, you're lost. God isn't teaching you anything. You may learn some of the Word of God accidentally. You may learn some of the... Don't tell the public school teachers, but you may learn some of the Word of God sitting in a public school. Because after all, the secular world has borrowed the wisdom of God for centuries. Therefore, it would be no great thing for you to learn something from the Word of God while you're in school. You just wouldn't know where it came from. But until you trust Christ as your Savior, you wasted your life. Won't change the fact that you did learn some things. But where God is concerned, your life has been wasted until you trust Christ as your Savior. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And I'm going to skip some more detail there, but you read this too when you get home. And look down at verse 23 now. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now watch carefully. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So here you are in a saved condition, yet at a moment in time when you trusted Christ as your Savior. For me, it was when I was 22, right there, 509 Chatillon, Danville, Illinois, 10 o'clock at night. I trusted Christ as Savior. I come all the way out here, I've lived all these years, and I look at the things that I do, and I just want to scream, pull my hair out, at how badly I failed the Lord. And then I find that not only is there a reward, but I'm verse 25, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. I want to say, Lord, erase those things since I've been saved. Lord says, no. You had my word then. You got it now. You want to straighten it out? Get in the word and get it straightened out. Look back in Philippians chapter 2. And I got done with this faster than I thought, and I stay here all night with you, but I'm just about done. Philippians chapter 2. Pick up in verse 9 with me. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is Jesus Christ, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to concentrate on Philippians 2:11. Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to know what His name is? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know what He is, Jesus Christ is Lord. And it says, every tongue shall confess, should confess. Well, there's a day coming when everyone who has not confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father shall Everyone that you know, everyone that you run across, everyone that you have contact with, even if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment, there will be a day when they do. The difference is, you don't want it to be too late. So therefore, he says, in effect, why do you think I've got you out here working? Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, it is not in you to figure this thing out, but God in you can figure all things out. It's not in you to figure out how to be righteous before your man, the mankind you're around. But it is in God to show His righteousness through you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You don't have to be brilliant. You have to believe what you read in the Word. You don't have to be able to speak publicly. You have to be able to converse with your friends, with the people that you meet. You don't have to have great oration powers. You just have to be able to give your testimony of salvation. The couple that I talked with today had never thought that the problems they're having was due to the devil wanting their testimony stopped. When somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, the devil has no more control of you. But if he can stop you from saying that Christ died for your sins and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he wins. You don't win against you and your eternal life. He wins against you and the rest of this life. If he can stop you from testifying to the grace of God in truth, he has won the battle where your life is concerned. Don't let him stop you. Just don't. So I don't know if I can stand up to it. You can't. But the Lord can. Use the Lord's Word. That's why He gave it to you. That's what it's all about. We are His workmanship, not our own. You put on the new man. You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And He'll show you how to walk through the doors and say the right words. And if you don't think that's true, why don't you test Him? Study. And watch how the door, I used to be so amazed at this, that it would just blow me away. I was trying self-carpeting, I thought, but I wasn't doing very much of that. But I would be so amazed that the thing which I had studied or read or just heard on tape, I would go somewhere and I'd have the opportunity to talk about that. Wow, just like that. No more get there than there'd be an opportunity to talk about the very thing I had just studied. Well, you can be stoic about it and say, well, the Lord worked that out. Yes, He did. But you ought to be excited about it and say, look how the Lord works. Because He does. He does. And the further we go, the more of the things that are the Word of God which are prevalent in our lives, then we have a varied number and way and shape and so forth of opportunities. The Lord opens the doors. We don't need to kick down any doors. We just need to walk through the ones that are open, and the Lord will provide. We are His workmanship. He does it. You see, there's something to be gained. Remember, it said back there in Colossians there was a reward. Go back to where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Let me remind you of a verse that Paul said just before he died. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So if you go from Paul getting the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, and you watch how the Lord then unfolded His Word through the writings of Paul, first thing you know, Paul's right. He did finish his course. He did keep the faith, and he did fight a good fight. And you know that there's a reward laid up for Paul. But notice, this says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Same day Paul was talking about in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not how many there are, what sort they are. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Same word used in Colossians 3. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. While if your works burn up, you get in, but you barely get in. If your works are burned up, it's because, according to verse 12, they're made from things like wood, hay, and stubble, in which case they're not going to show forth His glory. Wood, hay, and stubble, when it's burned up, is ashes, and ashes have no color. That's why they look the way they look. They're burned up. They don't have any color. So they're gray. If Wayne was here, he could give you an hour's explanation of that. But you see, here's the thing. If your work all burns up, you won't share in His glory. But the work you do, what you do in His name with His Word, saying the words He wants you to say, giving your testimony of faith in Christ Jesus, then He'll give you a reward. So you can take your pick. Once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him. You can either do nothing, or you can decide you're going to do it your way, and you'll get absolutely nothing from the Lord except salvation. Or you can do it the Lord's way, and He will bless you in this world and also in the one to come. I'm finished. Anybody got a question?